Webcasting to the world the good news. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, April 30th, 2008. The only April 30th, 2008 in the history of the world. And you know, Mikey, it's the end of the world as we know it.
Yes, no doubt.
Welcome in on this hump day spectacular known as Glenn Klein Online, helping you through and over the hump of the week, regardless of when you listen to this. So we know a lot of you beautiful humans do listen to the webcast on the archives, but whatever part of the week you're in, it's helping you over that hump, we hope. We hope on this hump day to help you. And now officially from the home offices in Houston, Texas of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening. How's Glenn today?
Well, I have no complaints, but thank you for caring enough to ask.
Awesome.
How are you after your journey to the north?
Well, I am doing very well. Actually, I thought it was Tuesday all day. So.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's a good thing that Michael and I conferred earlier this afternoon, because he said to me, what is today, Tuesday? Yeah, you had Monday as a travel day, which is often a confusing thing.
Yeah, and losing 2 hours coming back home does definitely threw me one day off. But the Gospel Revolution always puts me back on track, so here we are.
Nice. It sets the tone for the week, no doubt about it.
It does. And it rearranged my week.
So how did your time in Canada end up? Was it a pleasure?
Well, you know, just as always, my goodness, the Canadian folks are just always so amazing to me. I started out in Calgary, Alberta, and I flew in on Thursday, as is what I always do before a meeting. I like getting in the day before is to not be on a travel day and be rested and ready to get the meeting started. And man, on Friday, it started snowing in Calgary, and it snowed Friday, it snowed Saturday, it snowed Sunday. But, you know, some of the Canadian folks still braved. We had one of our couples that got on a bus in Manitoba, which is two provinces away, and rode a bus all night long just to get there to be in the meetings. And then on Sunday, after the meetings, they were we hung out with them a bit, and they were waiting until their evening bus because they enjoy riding the bus overnight and not real comfortable with driving at dark anymore. And and then others weren't able to make it, you know, from just an hour away. But
you know what a pleasure it must be, Michael, for people who at one point, like myself and yourself, would get on public transportation like that bus or an airplane or a train or whatever, be in a public place of any kind, and really knowing that we should stand up and proclaim the need for Jesus to people.
Yes.
Well, how nice it must be, and I certainly can relate to this, so can you, to be able to go and have heard a tremendous presentation of the gospel and then feel no compulsion to have to interrupt people's lives unless it comes up naturally and in an appointed way. It's that must be a nice trip.
Yeah, absolutely. And public transportation was always the challenge, you know, that you've got to get up and take advantage of the moment with your captive audience.
Well, one thing's for sure, if that plane's going down, you better be standing up and telling folks. God, it's crazy. It's crazy. This is Glenn Klein.
Anyway.
Well, let me give the folks the number. And
go ahead.
Yeah, let me do my thing here for a second. We do have the toll-free number, and we want to hear from you early in this webcast. It is always helps set the tone. And we always have to encourage that first courageous caller to get on the line at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. And the very lovely and talented Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your calls about anything you want to talk about, period, gospel-related. We've got a lot of information to get to you folks tonight about the gospel and also about the Gospel Revolution Convention That's coming in November. We've got reservation information for you, so please stay logged on for that. But do call at 1-800-436-3260, and we'd love to hear from you wherever you are listening. If it's between 9 and 10 o'clock Eastern Time in the United States, that means we are live and you're listening live, and you should call us. 1-800-436-3260. One more time, 800-436-3260. And, of course, if you are listening on the archive and want to get a question or comment in or would prefer to email us, you know that the email address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. All right, so you were saying?
Yes. So then like I said, the couples, the one couple that came all the way from Manitoba, and then others from Saskatchewan, and my goodness, we just had such an amazing time together, and a lot of teaching and a lot of talking, and then we were off as Ken Vandeveer was there with me also, and the folks really enjoyed Ken and his story. And the time that he shared telling about being in the Worldwide Church of God and exactly how he came in contact with his first tape, which was actually one of the officials in the Worldwide Church of God, one of their pastors, who had discovered my teaching tapes, but he relabeled them with his name on it and sent it out to a bunch of folks, and that's how Ken got the tape, actually.
Oh, that's a good marketing strategy right there.
Yeah, so he wanted them to see that it was from, you know, the Worldwide Church of God, and that one of the pastors of the Worldwide Church of God, so he just put his own label over the top of it, even though it was...
That may be the first incident of somebody taking your words and taking credit for it themselves in this Gospel Revolution experience. It's happened many times since, but that's for another webcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. So from there, though, we were off to Kelowna, and and again, amazing, you know, the folks just showed up. We had a good crowd, and you know, our host there, Ray and Mert Duncalf, did such a great job hosting the meetings, and the teaching again was really, really wonderful. It was amazing. I think Ken was just a bit overwhelmed. If he's listening, I hope he calls in. Because he really was just overwhelmed with seeing the same type of people in so many different places. And at one point at Kelowna, it was just absolutely, utterly amazing. I was standing up there sharing with the people, and there's just this, you know, this sea of smiles in front of me. I mean, just the most delighted people I think I've ever seen in my life. And Ken was also commenting on it. And again, these folks were just a delight to be with. And then from there on over to another flight over to Victoria, where I stayed at the Raphael's Bed and Breakfast, their new home there in Chemainus, a beautiful, beautiful little seacoast island resort town.
What was it called?
Chemainus.
Chemainus.
Yes.
Chemainus, British Columbia?
Chemainus, British Columbia.
My
yes.
Chemainus. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Wrong one.
Okay. Well, was there any underlying just strong message that you felt was kind of the emphasis of all the meetings?
Yeah, the one that carried through, even though we each of the meetings were different, for sure, as they always are, was that God has faith in you. And that was the subject. It was so refreshing, and you could almost just see the transformation coming to people's hearts as we just meditate on that thought, you know, just, and I encourage them, you know. In fact, I made the comparison to when I, very first time that I taught the redemption of the world was actually in British Columbia. It was in Vancouver. And I remember telling the people, now you may not believe this now, but what I asked them to do is, in fact, I remembered it because of this situation. But the very first time that I shared the redemption of the world, I was in Canada, and I asked the people, I said, now, I said, I really want you just to think about this. And so I told the audience, and I asked them, I said, okay, now, I said, just so that we don't jeopardize someone going to hell through this experiment, I asked them, I said, how many of you won somebody to the Lord yesterday? Nobody raised their hand. How many of you won somebody to the Lord last week? Nobody raised their hand. Last month, nobody raised their hand. And I got to a year, and nobody raised their hand, so I thought, well, I told them, I said, no, I'm not going any further because I don't want to embarrass you any further. I said, so am I to, is it safe for me to assume that if we experiment for 1 week and pretend that everybody is already redeemed and everybody's already going to heaven, that if you walk around and look at them in that way, that even if I'm wrong, we're not jeopardizing somebody going to hell because you're not going to witness to anybody anyway. And so they all agreed that we probably weren't jeopardizing anybody's eternal life, even if I was wrong. And the response that we got from that that week was really just overwhelming. It was indeed life-transforming. People reported back to me that they did take that week, and they did pretend as if that were true. And they said that their view of themselves, their view of other people, was transformed in a very short period of time, and a transformation that continued on. And it's pretty much the same response that we got to teaching people that the reversal of this covenant, not only, and Glenn, I tell you, it still just resonates in my heart so strongly, the complete reverse of, instead of man obeying and man initiating and God responding, that indeed that it's been a complete reversal of relationship with man, where it's God that initiated and man that responds. And it is still that way today. And every time that I read something that tells me about me having faith in God, I reverse that in my mind and my heart and just say that God has faith in me. Well, he ought to. He knows what he put in me.
Ironically, the kind of faith that God has in us is the type of faith, unconditional, 100%, always on, that the evangelical church demands from people.
Yes, and the same kind of love, the same kind of faith, all of those qualities.
Right, the same kind of holiness, the same kind of consistency.
Yes.
This is a beautiful thing. This is, I believe the series is going to be called The Upside Down Kingdom. And, I mean, it literally, like you say, Michael, you can see those words and you just flip them. And when you put it on God, and having been delivered to us through the sacrifice of Jesus, it's a done deal. It really is.
Well, it really is true, and I challenge everyone, pretend this is true. Pretend that God has faith in you. And every time that you have something in your life that you need some intervention in, just turn it upside down that God believes in you to do something about it, that God believes in you, that there's something in you that is capable of facing the situation you're in and doing the right thing. Just the same as we're trying to get a reaction from God, that instead that God, and the thing that was, one of the things that was consistent throughout was, there is nothing in heaven that you need. There is nothing in heaven that you need, because everything that was in heaven, God placed inside of us. He placed the kingdom itself inside of us. And he gave unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, all his treasure in earthen vessels. We have all the gifts of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness, and it just continues on and on. So why should we be surprised that God would want to place his faith in us after having placed all his kingdom in us? It just stands to reason. But you see, we still have the kingdom of God in some distant place away from us or outside of us or even in heaven, and we still have God in some other place. And so because we have God in some other place, we still have old covenant mentality. Even people who believe in grace, even people who believe that Jesus died on the cross, even for all, can still be trapped in the mentality of still trying to do something, even faith, to get a response from God. But that is not the power of this kingdom. The power of this kingdom is that God placed all of it inside of us, and He has faith in you. He has faith in you and loves you unconditionally. And I tell you, try that on. You know, this is like, and what I've been encouraging people, you know, it's like walking in and, they always say what not to wear on TV, they always tell people, you got to try it on because you don't know what it looks like. And people that are trapped wearing unbecoming clothing and things because they look at it on the rack and they think, that would never look good on me. But you gotta try it on. So that's what we're asking people. And it's not that we're trying to talk you out of your faith in God or your belief. Hold on to it. But let me tell you something. You talk about something so much powerful. Doesn't it just stand a reason that God's faith would get something done way more than ours would in the first place? And even if we only accepted what God's faith has already done, even if that's all that we did with it.
Yeah, it's funny because you say that's all. I mean, that's good.
Oh, that's everything.
Yeah, that's good enough. You know, it's an interesting point, Michael, because it takes truly a renewed mind and somebody that's established in grace to have the discernment to understand that what you are talking about doesn't necessarily mean it's going to manifest in a certain way in a certain person's life. And,
exactly.
And if we are trying to judge in our own hearts and minds, ladies and gentlemen, how our life is being conducted or what is coming out of our life, whether or not that kingdom is within us, that's exactly what, Michael, what you just said. It's an Old Testament mentality.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with us. It's about God. And what you're describing as far as the people wearing the clothes that are recommended for them is that there is a principle. It's the law of attention, if you will, and it has nothing to do with God's law. Don't misunderstand. But whatever you attend to is the direction in which your mind is. That's just an obvious thing, because if you attend to it, that's where your mind's going to be. And we know that the salvation process is a process of the mind. It's the process of thoughts, the way we conceive of how God conceives of us. And it's a pretty significant distinction, but one that we highly recommend. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's coming up to 20 minutes after the hour. We'd love to hear from you. We're waiting for our first phone call tonight. We've got Michael Williams, the president of the Gospel Revolution, online with us, as is our want each Wednesday evening. The number to call is 1-800-436-3260. 800-436-3260. 3260, or you can email us at always, as always, at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Sean O'Halloran waiting to take your call, 800-436-3260. You know, Michael, the gospel and the effect of being established in the grace of God, or even understanding or receiving the grace of God, continues to influence society. And if you've got any kind of ear to hear, or whatnot, ladies and gentlemen, if you're following current events and the social momentum, we saw this, Michael, just a couple of days ago, manifest in the speech that Jeremiah Wright, Barack Obama's former pastor, gave at the National Press Club, which caused Obama to come back and basically disown his pastor. But within all the craziness that Wright was talking about, and he was saying some very, very provocative, even one could argue strange things, somebody asked him, well, what about the Muslims? What about the Nation of Islam? What about people who don't accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? And in the middle of all this, Jeremiah Wright said, listen, doesn't the Bible say, for God so loved the world doesn't the Bible say that Jesus has sheep that are not of this flock? And so in the middle of all this craziness, here came a message of universal redemption for all humanity. And it just occurred to me, you know, if you followed the presidential campaign, Barack Obama got his major push through emphasizing a desire for reconciliation in the nation. This is what got people excited initially, before all this other stuff started happening. And apparently, he got that message came through all the other garbage that that Wright was saying. Sean, I'm getting a dial tone. I don't know if that's coming through on the air or not. Now I'm getting a fast busy like we did before. I think you've got the lines crossed again, buddy.
You've got your lines crossed.
But anyway, you know, the gospel is getting through even under the din of all this other religious garbage. I mean, it doesn't make a difference if the right wing of Christianity or the left wing of Christianity is speaking forth their pablum and their craziness. Sometimes the gospel gets through and has an impact on an individual, and sometimes that individual elevates to a position of authority. This thing is actually happening, but you got to sometimes, Michael, look and read between the lines.
No, absolutely, and I was discussing this even with the people in Canada, and they acknowledged that the church worldwide, you know, even the denominations, if you actually were able to measure their leaning toward even just the subject of grace now, it is drastic compared to 20 years ago. And my goodness, some of the things they actually lean toward now would have been breakthrough things that even I was saying 20 years ago. And so there is a definite move. It is a shift, and I like to believe that the impact of this gospel, we know how many places it has affected. We know how many major ministries that it has, that we know some of them. There's some of them we don't know that it has affected, which it has. But it has been a powerful thing, and something is really happening, and that message is underlying. It is there. And it is on everybody's mind. It is a possibility now in everybody's thoughts. Even if they totally reject it, at least the thought is there. And folks, we got to remember that not many years ago, this was not even a concept at large, at least. I know that this was a concept in extreme small numbers scattered about. But certainly nothing that had a voice, certainly nothing that had an influence or an impact. And my goodness, when I first my heart settled in on the gospel, I thought that I would be at least 80 years old. I just kind of surmised, okay, what am I going to have to go through here? I calculated the loss of all things, and I also calculated the, which I underestimated the loss of all things, actually. And, but I also calculated the amount of time that it would take, to where that this would rise to the level of public consciousness or public debate. And I thought I would be about 80 years old, but here we are.
Just 5 years early.
Right, absolutely. And I look good. You good for 75.
Yes, you do. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of wonderful things are happening, and a great thing that is happening is the coming Gospel Revolution Convention, which we've been telling you about for many months, and hopefully you've had it circled on your calendar. But if you go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage, you will find all the information about where it's being held, which is at the Marriott Houston North at Greenpoint. And the reservation phone number's on there. The registration form for the conference is on there, and all the information. And there's an early registration fee that's discounted. We got a good group rate if you call, or when you call, just ask for the Mike Williams Ministries group rate. And the Marriott's a very nice hotel, correct, Michael?
Yes, it is. I've gone into the guest rooms myself to see where our guests would be, and believe me, you're going to be very pleased with your surroundings and the hotel's environment and staff that I've worked with there to push this agreement together, and which I've definitely had to tap into the graces of God. This is not my area of specialties, and but also with the thanks of one of my dear friends here in Houston who has helped also. And we've got a good deal from the Marriott, and I think they're going to serve us very well. But Glenn, we really are planning on a worldwide event here, and I really do think that this is going to mark a change in the wind, if you will. I really do believe that this is a time for a turning point of momentum and energy for the gospel that may set a precedent that we'll all look back upon with a very fond memory of. Right now, we're looking forward to it, and we
know we're going to have a good time. That's for sure.
Unbelievably good time. I mean, we already have 20 of the folks from Canada have already signed up, and they're already putting in their registrations for the hotels, so for the hotel rooms there. And
all right, so here's what we need you folks to do is the hotel is going to start taking reservations right around noon tomorrow Eastern time. So just go to the website. It's very, very clearly explained. It's November 5th through the night, starting Wednesday night. We're going to have special guest Carlton Pearson, who many of you are aware of, and he's got a strong following with what he calls the gospel of inclusion. And so we will have many, many folks there. It's going to be Wednesday night, and then three meetings, morning, afternoon, and evening on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, we will have a breakfast meeting. There will be opportunities for group meals throughout the evenings on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. And the Marriott has a free shuttle service from Bush International in Houston. And so we finally got this thing together. Now it's up to you. We've got 50 rooms reserved. And we had to take a step of faith, if you will. I hate to put it in those terms, but nonetheless, in order to get the rooms and everything. So we've known you folks, have wanted to do this. It's taken quite a long time for the thing to come together, but it's together now. And now it's up to you guys, wherever you're listening, wherever you read from, around the world, to get yourself to Houston on November 5th through the 9th for the first annual Gospel Revolution Convention. And, of course, Michael will be a featured speaker. I'll be sharing there, too, and many others. And you are not going to want to miss it. You can call the office during the day if you have any questions. That number is on the gospelrevolution.com webpage. But all you do is you call the Marriott, ask for the Mike Williams group rate for November 5th, and make your plane reservation, fill out the registration form, get your registration fee in, and we'll be ready to rock and roll. We're expecting a real good crowd. We expect these 50 rooms to go quickly. So we seriously suggest that you make your reservation so that you do have a room reserved. And like I said, feel free to call us with any questions that you might have. But it's going to be a party, Michael.
It is. I am. I've definitely got it on my calendar, like my birthday. So it is going to be a good time. You know, we've had, like we said, like you have said, we've had so many people express interest in this, and so many that I've talked to have expressed that they are coming. And we can't emphasize the discount on these 50 rooms. They are heavily discounted, and for this particular meeting, So we want to make sure that you are able to get one of those 50 rooms at that discounted rate.
Yeah, it's over 33% off to be part of the group. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be rooms available after, or there might not be some other options for you. But it, you know that you're coming. Make your reservation quickly, and then it's good. Then you're good to go. And you just the Marriott phone number is on the page at the GospelRevolution.com site. And just call up there and make your reservation.
Absolutely.
Well, one guy, Michael, that I am really looking forward to meeting in person, we got an email from, and that's Greg Amberge, our Cincinnati correspondent for the Gospel Revolution.
Absolutely.
He emailed us with, Glenn and Mike, since Mike helped clarify what Jesus called Scripture, I have experienced a wonderful freedom to read the New Testament as commentary, not as God's Word. This has opened up the Bible to me like never before. I learned to read by reading the Bible every night with my parents, but I have a greater understanding of it now than I ever had before. Greg continues. For instance, I have always wondered why Paul would say that there is neither male nor female, but also say that women are prohibited from teaching or usurping authority over men, as also saith the law. But this week I was reading a book by a New Testament scholar who believes that in the second century, Tertullian inserted verses 34 and 35 into 1 Corinthians 14. The church was arguing over women's roles in the church, and Tertullian, the father of orthodoxy, had powerful influence over and access to manuscripts and copies of church documents. He was strongly opposed to women having leadership roles in the church. Sure enough, if you read 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27 and 33, Paul is writing about the prophetic gifts in the church. Suddenly we are to believe he inserts a few sentences about women and then continues on talking about the prophetic ministry. If you take out the two verses about women, the passage reads smoothly and makes complete sense. In the book of Romans, chapter 16, Paul mentions that Junia, a woman, was of note among the apostles. Everyone wonder why no evangelical leader ever mentioned Junia? I have never heard anyone talk about her until this week. Anyway, thanks for opening up the possibilities for me. Bible study has become a renewed passion for me as I unearth the truths hidden by orthodoxy, Catholicism, and evangelicalism. And he signs it, Loving My Freedom, Greg.
Yes, well, as always, Greg does a fine job of putting these things into word and presenting it to us. But it is very, very accurate what he's saying. The ability to see the New Testament as commentary, and I have actually said I view the letters, in fact, as books of debate between Paul and Peter and James and John. And if you see that also, that not just commentary but debate between these guys, that was the one, Greg, that absolutely set me free. Because the debate is obvious. It is there. In fact, two of the debates are recorded, not just between the books, but within a book, within two entire chapters in the book of Acts. The debate between between Paul and the apostles is there. Their disagreement is recorded in two whole chapters of the book of Acts pertaining to the gospel and the Gentiles and the gospel and the Jews, which they disagreed on both points. And one not reconciling anything at all, one they conceded to Paul that they were wrong. They conceded they were wrong. Come on, folks. if Peter, James, and John conceded to Paul about the Gentiles that they were not right, and that they were incorrect and that Paul was right, don't you think that some of their writings might have got through? That, in other words, can't we accept that, you know, we may have stone statues all around St. Peter's Square at the Vatican, but that does not mean that these guys were deities. And it is so important, their humanity. I mean, my gosh, we, especially in Catholicism, well, in Protestantism too, We actually embrace
all the isms.
Yes, we actually embrace the humanity of Jesus better than we embrace the humanity of the apostles. We see them as completely infallible, and yet we embrace the weakness of Jesus as a man and the temptation of Jesus. But my gosh, we have elevated these people to such postures of infallibility.
Well, and you know, the other thing too, Michael, is that, and Greg talked about the freedom that he has in reading the Bible now. Even if Paul, according to the New Testament writings, Paul had Timothy circumcised, for God's sake.
Yes, he did.
So, I mean, and even if Paul did drop that in there, and his explanation makes a lot of sense, that Greg wrote about, but even if it was dropped, it don't make a difference. Because, see, we get to pick and choose, folks, and we admit that we do.
Yes.
Things that are relevant to the gospel, as Greg said, the commentary about the Old Testament and about the concept of righteousness in Christ for everyone, we get to pick and choose. And we're the only ones that I know that have a Bible-based teaching, Michael, that admit that we pick and choose what we feel is appropriate to apply to the understanding, the interpretation of the gospel and God's view of us. We admit
it. And then have the audacity. Then actually have the audacity that our picking and choosing is scriptural.
Explain that, please.
Well, our picking and choosing is based on Scripture. It is based on what we see that the Scriptures foretold. You know, Jesus made it clear if the law and the prophets did not present the thought, if the prophets didn't speak of it, you have no requirement to believe what anybody said. So our picking and choosing is not just random. It is going back and looking to see if indeed the prophets foretold it to be that way. It's just like the gross liberty that evangelicals would say we've taken with saying that all Scripture was fulfilled at the cross, and by saying that the 70th week of Daniel was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. Well, we go back to Daniel and read about the 70th week of Daniel, and according to Daniel chapter 9, just in one verse in that chapter, it tells us what about five things that would be signify the fulfillment of the 70th week of Daniel. And just because the church rejects the work of Christ in his fulfillment of doing away with sin, which is one of the that transgression would be done away with, and just that one thing, do you know, just that one thing, he said that was one of the things that would signify the 70th week of Daniel being fulfilled, was that transgression, there would be an end of transgression. And Glenn, if the church cannot see there is no transgression because there is no law, according to Romans and Paul's teaching, and the fact that you can't transgress something that's not there, that's no wonder that they are trying to subdivide an incredible prophecy. When you imagine the foolishness of taking a prophecy of the Scriptures and putting a timeline on it and saying that, okay, it all broke off right here and just kind of went dormant, and then it's supposed to pick up sometime in the future, and we're 2,000 years beyond there, unprecedented. There is no other prophecy in the Bible that has that type of interpretation to it or given to it or applied to it.
Especially when it usurps the work of Christ. I mean, it's bizarre when you come right down to it.
It really is bizarre.
When Jesus said that all the law, the Psalms, and the prophets were about him, and then they want to have a private interpretation of a prophecy, and they pull out a couple of verses of Scripture and make it some futuristic event just to freak people out and keep them in the pews and keep the money coming in and keep people all afraid and guilty. This is insanity, ladies and gentlemen, and it has borne its insane fruit. There's no doubt about it. We've got about 20 minutes left, and we did hear from Ken Vandeveer per your request, Michael, and when we were having a little bit of technical difficulty, we lost Ken. So, Ken, we've been trying to call you back, and your phone's busy, so if you are listening on the computer and could call us back, that would be a beautiful thing, because your phone's busy right now. And we have three lines available, ladies and gentlemen, so there's time for you to get on to at 800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. 3260 is the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline. Sean O'Halloran waiting to hear from you, the engineer, producer, and call screener extraordinaire. Kristen Chirac in studio tonight. We have a packed house here at the Glenn Klein online studio. And there is the phone ringing. So
there he is.
It's either Ken or another one of our loyal listeners. I want to mention here, we've got a great email from another guy we're looking forward to seeing at the convention, Richard Mull from California. And he sent us some pictures of chariot parts, human bones, horse bones, etc., he says, in the Red Sea along the Exodus route of the Jews who came out of Egypt. And I looked at these pictures. Richard, thanks for sharing them. And did you see that, Michael? Did he send that to you?
I'm sure he did, but I have not checked my email.
All right, well, I'm gonna forward it to you because it's kind of fascinating. And, you know, obviously fundamentalists would take that as a verification of the Exodus story. But it brings up a very interesting point, I think, Michael, is that we admit that we believe some pretty outlandish things in order to believe the gospel according to what we read in the Bible. And if you, you know, people, and there's a whole move right now in the media to, you know, discredit religion and just belief in God of all kinds. It's a fairy tale. It's believing like there's a man in the moon. But if you're going to believe in a creator that created the universe, that set the earth on its axis in just such an exact way that if it was off just a small degree, it would just go spinning off into the universe. If you're going to believe in some design, some purpose in all of this, it's not that much more outlandish to believe in a flood that happened or in an exodus that happened. The Jews got from Egypt. We know the Jews were in Egypt. That we know. So they got from Egypt to the Promised Land for some way. And it's certainly, if you have a creator that created the entire universe, that set the solar system, it's not that much of a leap, Michael, to believe in a virgin birth. I admit we believe some pretty wild stuff, but so be it. This life is pretty wild.
That none of the gospel and the interpretation of the scriptures as we've been presenting them to folks, none of them have led me to a, quote, liberal view of the scriptures. I have a very literal view of the scriptures. See, I believe all that. I'm very much a creationist. And the day that I see, you know, some scientific material that is not so discredited by other scientists, you know, I'll stay a creationist. It's not that I'm closed-minded to it, because it wouldn't change my view of the gospel one way or the other.
Right, and if these chariot wheels and horses' bones and human bones at the bottom of the Red Sea turned out to be not part of that era, it still wouldn't change anything.
Still not going to change anything, but I do believe that event took place. It's not a big stretch for me at all. I believe in an awesome God. I believe that things were designed for us in a way to bring salvation and redemption to such a powerful point, setting us free at the cross, that all of these things, I think, if the cross set us free, why is it difficult to believe that the Red Sea parted? I just don't get the big deal, you know. I see that as an event, and it may not have happened. Who's to say? But the reason that I'm saying this is to say that none of my beliefs about the gospel have led me to some psychological, you know, university dreamed up view of bringing the scriptures and the events in the Bible to some conceivable manner rather than them being as miraculous as they're demonstrated. I just don't have any reason to water it down at all.
It's awesome.
I think it's powerful as it is, and I think that the cross was much more powerful than the church has ever. I think it's more powerful than I give it credit to be. I think it's way more. I think it's exceeding abundantly above all that I've ever asked or thought. It is an amazing thing. So these things are very simple for me. Maybe it's because I'm simple-minded. I that's okay with me too. Because the conclusion that I've come to has placed me in a mindset where, number one, I'm okay with me. Thank God I'm okay with me. And thank God I'm okay with you. Thank God that we're all okay with God. And not only just okay, we're righteous and holy and perfect. And if the human race can ever come from a different point, you know, it's the place you start from that's going to determine where you're going. And we've been coming from a point of being born sinners for thousands of years now. And it is time that there's this revelation of the gospel that we're not coming from a place of born sinners. We're coming from a place of born righteous and holy and perfect. And our belief in God, our belief that Jesus came to redeem the world is not the point that we were redeemed. It's the point that we begin our salvation, where that it began to affect our soul and our mind and to change us, not into religious freaks of some kind, but of people who are stable and strong and really do love other people and can stand up and say, this freaking doctrine you're in is really kind of weird, you know, and this is why. This is a simple thing. We are human beings who have been set free from any obligation, any duty toward God, any liability toward God whatsoever, any future punishment from God, any future judgment day from God. It is not going to happen. You are free, and through that, we are empowered to live this life different than any other generation has had the opportunity to do.
That's awesome stuff. We have Ken Vandeveer on the line. Ken, I'm going to ask you to hold on because we got another call from our new friend Bob in Portland. Bob, you're online with Michael Williams. How are you tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you for carrying out the task.
I didn't make it up to Canada to see you after I called you a couple weeks ago, but it's been a good 2 weeks anyway.
Wait, you're forgiven. You know that, Bob, right?
I woke up this morning thinking about grace and basically prayed to God to show me an example of grace today. And something really interesting happened. I walked into work, turned my computer on, and first thing that flashes up was I'll share a very short story on an event that happened this weekend. There was a Division II women's softball game in Washington between Western Oregon College and Central Washington. And a college senior was up the bat, second inning, no score.
Yes.
Had never scored a home run in her career. This is basically her last home game. 5-foot-tall girl, hits a home run, runs the first, misses first, turns to go back, falls, and takes out her knee. Her teammates can't help her. Her coach can't help her. She's in pain, trying to call the first base. Two members of the opposing team come over and find out it's not against the rules for them to pick her up and carry her around the bases. So she scores her home run and gets it in the record books.
And it actually won the game for that team. It won
right.
the game
yeah.
against the team that right. the two girls were carrying the other girl for.
Yeah. Anyway, but that just showed me a human example of the grace that we get from God, where he comes to us and carries us with no merit on our own, but allows us to succeed and shine for him. So, I mean,
yeah.
it was just incredible.
That you know, that wouldn't have happened if it was a guy softball team. You realize that, Bob?
No.
See, there is a female aspect to the Father. There's no doubt. One of the names in the Old Testament for God is El Shaddai, which in Hebrew, which literally means the multi-breasted one. And which, of course, speaks of God's sustenance and, I believe, his grace. And thank God for the women. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, Bob, that is a beautiful story. I saw that actually myself on one of the news channels as I was flipping through them.
Yeah, it's traveling around the world today, I think.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it, but that is a phenomenal story. Absolutely tremendous. I will be sharing that the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And, Bob, so did you hear about the convention that we're having in Houston in November?
Yes, I was listening.
Okay, well, if you go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage, all the information is on the homepage. You just link on from there. And, boy, we hope we'll forgive you for not coming to Canada, but you got to make Houston.
Yeah, no, I heard Carlton was going to be there also. Is that correct?
That is accurate.
Yeah, okay. That'll be interesting. So.
Yeah, that certainly will. Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
There's Bob from Portland.
Thanks, Bob.
That's good stuff, man. You know what? That is absolutely... You can make a movie out of that one.
Oh, it will be, I'm sure.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We've got about 10 minutes left in this April 30th edition. We want to hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We do have a phone line available. But on line number two is Oklahoma's homegrown son, Mr. Ken Vandeveer. Ken!
Good evening, Glenn.
How you doing, brother?
I'm great. How are you? Sound like you guys are doing good tonight.
Yeah, you feeling good?
I'm feeling pretty good. Like I say, I had a little health problem up while we were in Canada, but boy, the rest of it made up for it. Let me chime back in while I got this thought running in through my head, what you and Mike were just talking about.
Go ahead, Ken.
I go back, Glenn, to my selective belief system.
Yeah.
That's the term that I use, and you guys use something a little different. But
well, I like that. I like that.
That selective belief system, if I use my selective belief system, I can be any denomination I would like. I can pick and choose Catholicism if I want to use it. But that's based on my belief system and my view of God. And it's an opinion that I form. And if we've learned anything from this gospel, my opinion does not count.
Yeah.
What I need to look for, and to our friend up in Illinois, I need to find from Scripture what God's view and opinion of me is. And go back to what Mike just said. Properly apply the cross. And you'll see God's view and opinion of Adam and his generation. Come to the cross, and you will find, after that, God's view and opinion of us. And I sit here and look at the website. For God so loved the world. Wait a minute, Glenn, that just gives me goosebumps. God loved the world. Here's God's view and opinion of you. And when we can find God's view and opinion of us, it will establish us in a truth that we will, we can just get Pentecostal here now.
Yeah.
But you'll do good about this. I've got a Pentecostal background. I can get them doodads and I can get Pentecostal on you. But the love of God, and the further we remove us from the analogy here or who we are and let God live in us, what an awesome, awesome thing.
Well, you alluded to Reverend Wright from Illinois. And, in his pronouncements, Michael, in the same breath practically that he said, for God so loved the world, he also said that one day he would have to answer to God and sit under God's judgment. So it's amazing how somebody could be approaching the concept of God's love for humanity and yet think somehow that we are somehow responsible for presenting ourselves to God apart from Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely. And it's good to know the verdict is in. You know, the judgment has come. It has gone. And, we don't even have to wait to get to heaven to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into thy rest. We've already done that. My God, can you... I'm going to get Pentecostal on you here with Ken tonight. So. I mean, we've already.
If you guys start breaking out the snakes tonight, well, I guess we're free to do whatever we want to do. But.
Whatever we want.
We're free.
When we begin to realize the situation that this has placed us in, and that we've already heard that voice of approval, even as Jesus heard it, when he was baptized and also went to the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And, you know, then, of course, Peter said that that we have an even more sure word of prophecy that's like a light shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rises in our heart. And conveniently enough, it's right after that, it says, and no scripture, the prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. So what Ken was saying is exactly right. He's telling us that it's God's view and opinion of us is the proper interpretation of scripture. Our view and opinion of God is a private interpretation of scripture. And that was part of the message that we were experiencing in Canada, even though the ability to say it seems to grow as we get even further along the line. But that reality, and to know, I'm not going to wait. I used to tell people, I already know what I'm going to hear when I get there. But then when I was in Canada, when Ken and I were working together there in Canada, sharing with the folks up there, it finally hit me in Canada. I've already heard that voice. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into thy rest, because I've already entered into his rest, so I've evidently heard the voice.
And the day star
I don't have to wait
risen.
To heaven.
Yeah, the day star's there, Glenn. It's risen.
Yeah.
In our hearts. The light's there. And then you go back to John and listen to John when he talks about the light. Hey, the light takes on a different meaning.
Oh, it definitely does.
Kathy, the light's there.
You know, you talked with us last week from Canada, Ken, and you talked about the sort of universal experiencing you were having with the people that you had just met.
Yeah.
And there is a level of rest that comes to the people that are establishing the gospel. I think that might have been what you were referring to. There's a level of peace there and tranquility that people have already entered into on this side of eternity. We're already in eternity. It's just it takes on different forms when our body ceases to function anymore. But, I think that is the thing that we found, Michael, amongst the folks that have been part of the gospel revolution, is that there's a sense of humor, there's a rest, there's an ease. This doesn't mean that life's not without trials and tribulations and hassles and disappointments and all that stuff, but a tragedy. But there's just a place you come to that you can approach these things in a whole different vein.
Oh, absolutely. And Glenn, over 15 years now, my heart has literally craved for the experience that we're about to have in November. I know so many wonderful people, and I think one of the experiences that Ken had was that he started seeing that it wasn't just around the people that he had this experience with. This really is a worldwide epidemic of the gospel that is infecting people around the world. And it has exactly the same impact in every heart. Everybody's testimony is not different. Everybody's testimony is exactly the same. Because this isn't about our testimony. In fact, it was Paul's teaching that taught us about the testimony of God. We're not given our testimonies, we're given God's testimony. The whole reversal of this upside-down kingdom and experiencing it in its true mindset is just one of the most liberating things that has ever happened to me. And thank God I don't have a testimony anymore. I go around giving God's testimony.
I think, Glenn, that I was overwhelmed with I'm not even sure I can explain it. And I'm still high on the whole deal. I mean, I hadn't come down yet off of the experience. To see people that has got the same spirit, the same mind, and you can see that the kingdom is within, the freedom that gives them. I finally had to ask us, what makes us all alike? What is this that just makes us the same? And it's the truth. The truth will set you free. And when you can find the truth and really find God's view and opinion of you, you will find the power of the gospel that Paul talked about to the Romans. There's a power here that will change you. And when you get to Houston and you see all of these folks that are one-minded, of one mind, one spirit. Oh, and the freedom that that brings.
And they know, and
the
and
joy
they,
that
and
that will give you.
And they know it. And it's
they know it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
That's what Mike said. When you stand in front of them, and, you know what I'm saying, in talk, or when you stand and talk, and the joy and the freedom that you experience being with everyone. I'm telling you, I've been to the Worldwide Church of God Feast of Tabernacles where there's 10,000 people. I never felt this spirit. I never felt it. Now, it was good to come together, but I never felt anything like I felt in Canada. I mean, with so many different wonderful people.
That's awesome.
And I just had to try to figure it out.
That's what I want everybody to experience. That's what I want everybody to experience. I'm so glad.
And we will do that in Houston, I'm quite sure, when we get together. And it will be so encouraging, you know what I'm saying, to see the gospel message and the effect that it has. Like I say, Mike knows, I was just around a few people here, and they all are in good shape, you know what I'm saying, as far as their understanding of the gospel. They know who they are. They experience their freedom, and thank God that I'm there. You know what I'm saying? They're just, but when we see this in numbers, Glenn, it does something. This is not just me and you and, you know, a few of us. This is the Spirit of the living God that is working. And it works in us, and we're going to learn to share this gospel message in a simplicity that it's not complicated.
Well, there's a...
Get your view and opinion out of the way. It doesn't... And, Mike, you may have to straighten me out a little on this. You said that the faith is within. You know, God said he was the author and the finisher. He authored faith and he finished it. And just as sure as the kingdom is within, that faith is within me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even my faith.
Absolutely.
It confirms my heart, but it's the faith of God that's in me
mm-hmm.
that confirms that relationship.
That's what makes it sure.
Huh? And we say God's faith in us. No, I'm talking about it physically being in your heart. God's faith is in there, and now the faith that I project outward is not even my faith. It's of God. It ain't me.
And that's why our testimony is 100% the same, because it's the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No correction for me, Ken. Keep preaching, Ken.
There's a Hebrew scripture that is sung in the synagogues, and it's crossed over into Messianic Judaism. It goes, Hine matov umanayim shevetahim bachyacha. And it literally means how wonderful and lovely it is for brethren to dwell in unity.
Oh, my.
And, you know, of course, that was fulfilled at the cross. But we're going to experience that together, folks, in Houston, November 5th through the 9th. Don't miss it. It's going to be a meeting for the ages. Go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage. Just click on the information for the convention. The reservation number for the hotel, ask for the Mike Williams Ministries group rate, is there. There's a registration form for the conference, and you pay online. The whole thing's taken care of. And we will be together in Houston, November 5th, 2008, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise.
And Glenn, before we go, I have to share this with Ken online, just to show the heart of this man, who this is the only kind of people I know. I mean, and Ken saw that while I was up there, but Ken is one of those people, which is the type of people that the gospel produces. And when I asked Ken to go to Canada with me, and I know that he has not approved of me saying this, but I'm going to anyway, I had asked Ken to go as a guest speaker, and of course I remunerate my guest speakers, and I promised him I would give him $1,000 for coming and speaking at these events with me, because it takes time out of his work. And when we got near the end of our time there, Ken told me that what he did in essence was contribute that $1,000 back to the Gospel Revolution. And I think he just got caught in a moment. He was so overwhelmed with the joy of being around these people, he just turned around and gave his money away. So.
Thanks, Ken.
That's not the way I make a living, Glenn. But I tell you, when you can see the number of people I did that the gospel has freed their hearts, a little money doesn't matter. There's no way that any of us can pay enough money. They're just not a gift big enough to appreciate what God has done for us.
Well,
and what this gospel has done in our lives.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. I hadn't talked to him in a while, and he said, it was a question that people ask. He said, is everything good? And I said, no, everything is not good. I said, but the important things are good.
Yeah, the important things are good.
And,
right.
And at the top of that list is knowing that we have been reconciled unto God and unto each other, and there is nothing separating us anymore from the Creator of the universe or from His creation, and that's a beautiful thing.
Right.
Ken, thank you.
All right, Glenn.
There's Ken Vandeveer.
We'll talk to you later.
There's
good
Ken.
Night, guys.
Thanks,
good
Ken.
Night,
Ken.
Thanks for calling. Ken Vandeveer, ladies and gentlemen, from Oklahoma.
Good man.
He said he's still high.
Yes, he is.
I know it's from the trip because, you know, they don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee.
Well, I can tell you one thing for sure is that Ken is going to be on a recruiting event between now and getting folks signed up for the convention. All of Ken's had a great impact in that area. And so he's going to take up a big block of those 50 rooms, I guarantee you that.
Well, get your reservations in, folks. We cannot encourage you enough, both for yourself and, frankly, for us. We need to know that you're coming. So just go to gospelrevolution.com. That's where you can keep your monthly giving up. That's where you can now make your reservation at the hotel at the Marriott Houston North Greenpoint for the gospelrevolution.com convention, 2008 first annual. And it's going to be a time. Special guest Carlton Pearson and many other speakers. Of course, Michael will be featured. And apparently they're even going to let your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host have a microphone once in a while. So we finally have it online, Michael, and we're ready to rock and roll.
Feels good, doesn't it, Glenn?
Yeah, it's just one day at a time, sweet Yeshua. Well, thanks, Mikey, and you sound no worse for the wear for your travels, and it's been awesome as always.
Getting my clock adjusted, I think I'm back on track now.
Okay, that's good. It's good to have your clock adjusted. Your clock should be adjusted at 9 o'clock every Wednesday night to the Glenn Klein Online webcast. The Gospel Revolution, broadcasting and webcasting worldwide, the good news. You know, Michael, if there's any bad news, it ain't the gospel.
It ain't the gospel.
Want to thank Ken Vandeveer for calling. Bob from Portland for your emails. Kristen Shiraz sitting in the studio tonight. It's a packed house. And, of course, engineering, producing, and call screening, Mr. Sean O'Halloran. This is Glenn Klein Online. Until next time, shalom, everybody.